This song makes me want to kick back and enjoy a nice, tall, cool glass of disco lemonade.
I smell sex and candy here. Who's that lounging in my chair?
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another episode of Decomposition Podcast, where we hyperanalyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great.
You're great. Joining us today, we have a brand new guest to the Decomposition Podcast. He is the co-host of several different podcasts on the Throw the Flag Network, TTF. There is the Throw the Flag Podcast, as well as Cold Dog Soup Presents That's Disgusting, which is a mouthful because that was two podcasts that have since been combined into one super podcast. Sean Majors, all the way from Huntsville, Alabama. Sean, thank you for connecting with us via FaceTime audio.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited.
How are you doing
tonight?
Big
day for me. I'm doing great. You know, slugging through the holidays.
Sure.
Looking forward to New Year's and
so it's
all the renewal of that break.
It's nice and early over there right now where you're recording. Yeah. Is the sun down yet, or is it still bright and shiny?
It gets dark around 4:45.
Perfect timing.
Central
perfect
time. So that's always a blast.
Are you not drinking tonight?
Not tonight. I've definitely had my fill of festivities. This
sure.
Also,
holiday season,
it's not even 6 o'clock.
I know, but you know. We are, and I don't want us to look like total lushes.
Don't peer pressure, Sean. We wouldn't look like anything.
He's got a thermal mug right there. He's obviously drinking something.
Nobody can see whether we're drinking or not.
That's true.
But you are having a beer, and I'm having a glass of wine, but it's almost 8 o'clock at night here. It's totally different vibe.
I like to think that it just comes out in my voice. One time with one of my co-hosts, we were recording an episode about songs to be romantic.
Oh, yeah. I listened to that. Was that your like sexy playlist? Your sexy mixtape.
Exactly. And that was take two, because the first one I may have had too much alcohol, that the last 30 minutes was just incomprehensible. And thank God I somehow like didn't export the file properly and it was lost. So thankfully I had a second take at that.
Now we'll never hear that glory.
That's a shame.
That
actually
is a shame.
I'm disappointed.
It truly is.
I forget what was on the playlist. I want to say like Pony by D'Angelo, but maybe I just think that's
a Genuine
song.
Absolutely.
Is that Genuine, not D'Angelo? D'Angelo's Brown Sugar.
Oh, I'm not going to remember the name of this song, so I'm going to have to just describe
it. Do it.
What about the boner song? What's the boner song?
Oh, Too Close.
Too Close.
My next. Yeah. That's the boner song.
They should really put the boner song in parentheses after.
I think so. If Rupert Holmes was smart enough to put the Pina Colada song in parentheses, I don't see why Next can't just put like boner.
Get your act together, Next.
Come
on.
If you're still around.
It's the only way to remember what that song is.
Does nobody else think that the music to Pony by Genuine just sounds like somebody belching?
It does.
It
reminds me of there is an Aaliyah song that was on the Dr. Dolittle 2 soundtrack.
Great. Strong start to this conversation, Sean.
And it has like a sample of a baby cooing.
Great.
Like every 7 seconds.
That sounds terrible.
Okay, now it's bugging me. I need to find out what song it is.
Get a Googler on it, yeah. What else can you tell us about the Dr. Dolittle 2 soundtrack?
Oh, gosh. You know, not as much as I can tell you about the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack.
That was my very first CD right there, was Ghostbusters.
Really?
That and White Lion's Pride. I got them on my birthday the same year.
That How is old a fantastic.
Were you? Oh, I must have been like 8.
You're adorable.
So, yeah. 8 or 9, I guess.
Are you that somebody is the name of the Aaliyah song.
Great.
For those wondering.
Baby cooing, found sound, yes. Sample.
I believe Timbaland was on it as well.
Well, then I think we know who we have to thank for that sample.
Exactly.
So, but today's song is a song that, Sean, I'm trusting based on my knowledge of your musical taste, you probably loved back in the day.
I celebrate the entire album.
Sean,
I love this song.
You and I have much to discuss here, all right?
I can't believe someone has heard the entire album.
Yeah, some of us may not have owned it. So
for sure. Absolutely. I still do.
Wow.
It is the 1997 hit by Marcy Playground off of their self-titled album. It is the song Sex and Candy. And this song has a ton of chart positions. It went to number one on Billboard's alternative songs, number three on mainstream top 40, number eight on the Hot 100, number four on mainstream rock, number four on the adult top 40, and then it spent a record 15 weeks at number one on the modern rock tracks, beating Wonderwall by Oasis, who had only spent 10 weeks up there. Yeah.
Take that, Gallagher's.
So, yeah, exactly. They were too busy punching each other in the face to score a 15-week hit. But is that insane or what?
That is crazy.
Yeah. Katie, how much do you love this song?
I actually used to love this song.
Okay.
Like, I loved this song when it came out. I feel fine about this song now. I would definitely still listen to it if it came on, but I wouldn't think to like intentionally turn it on.
That is a strong endorsement of Marcy Playground.
So my
one and only hit. Yeah.
Have gone from like very intense, like, I love it, I'm into it, assessment of the song to like a pretty neutral feeling about the song.
Yeah. Sean, before we get too deep into the song, I do need to ask you, what was your first CD, album, tape purchase?
Oh, baby. I have been waiting to answer this question ever since I heard you guys make a Pete Holmes reference on like a very early episode. The first CD that I ever owned was one that I was before I even owned a CD player. So I had to play it on my like desktop computer.
Oh, yeah.
And I won it from like I was the like 40th caller for like WZYP 104.3 here in Huntsville. And it was Collective Soul's Hints, Allegations, and Things Left Unsaid.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That was their big one, right? That had Shine and December and World That I Know. Was that on that one?
I think I had that CD.
World That I Know is definitely on there. I don't think I can name any. I just thought it was cool to have a CD.
Yeah. And you loved it?
Obviously, loved it.
Based on your menial knowledge of its track listing now. Yeah. But this CD, you said you also owned.
Yeah, I think I heard my sister playing it in her car, and I was like, man, I love this song. I love that song. I love that song. I got to get it. So we can talk about St. Joe on the School Bus after this. We can talk about Sherry Fraser. We'll just run down the entire track list.
Katie, that's Fraser spelled F-R-A-S-E-R.
Fraser, F-R-A-S-E-R?
That's right.
So spelled right, pronounced wrong, just like my maiden name?
That's correct. Yeah.
So my maiden name is Fraser. And
if you couldn't put the pieces together.
No, but, yeah. Like we say Fraser, but if it's F-R-A-S-E-R, it's really Fraser. Everybody's saying it wrong.
Ask Brendan.
Yeah, ask Brendan. Ask He's Brendan. Saying it wrong too.
So I don't remember if I owned this CD or if my brother owned this CD and I just like borrowed it and tried to like it. But this was a song that I thought I was supposed to like.
Mm.
And I tried desperately to like it. I tried desperately to listen to the other songs on the album and just could not get into it. In fact, it's like my first conscious memory of like refusing to like a song that I thought I was supposed to like.
Wow.
Because at that age, I thought like anything that was like a hit song, it was like, well, I've got to enjoy this, right?
Yeah.
But I remember having that CD and saying, like, this is a bad CD.
It came out in 97, right?
Yes.
So at 15, I mean, this is a song basically written for 15-year-olds. Like, it's sex and candy.
Yeah.
Like it's okay. Part adulthood, part childhood.
It really bridges the gap.
You're
for
into
us.
It.
Is that how I should look at it? As like this is a song to bridge my.
I don't think it's that intentional.
No.
But I'm going to choose to look at it that way. But I think we'd be giving. Oh, I feel like I know his name is like Woz something.
Yes, Wozniak. John Wozniak.
Wozniak. I think we'd be giving Wozniak a little undue credit if we said that he intentionally made it sex and candy to bridge the gap between childhood and adulthood.
Well, based on what I was reading about John Wozniak, I think you are absolutely correct.
Okay, good.
So, and well, I have like several
correct.
Quotes you do. I have several quotes to back that up. So we are in luck.
So, Sean, is the rest of the CD any good?
It's a weird CD. There, not weird. It's for a pop rock band from the late 80s. There's a lot of lyrics that have themes of like cross-dressing and kind of finding yourself sounds stupid, but like deeper than what you would expect.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, as a just a normal middle class white dude, like not a lot of stuff that would typically speak to me, but like, you know, I thought it was cool then and I thought it was cool now. Like St. Joe on the School Bus has a couple of those lines in it. And yeah, there's some, I recommend just a quick listen through.
I'll do my best. I don't think I've ever listened to the CD. I think I did see them live though.
Yeah. Well, if you can't remember, they must have been good.
I went to one of those like giant music festivals in 1998. And what I definitively remember is that Green Day was like one of the big headliners, but we saw a billion bands during the day. And I'm pretty sure Marcy's Playground was one of them.
So last night I was going through Sex and Candy. I watched the video a bunch of times.
That video.
I listened to a couple other songs and I'm like, man, why did they not do anything after this? And I started doing what I always do, which is like, you know, when I remember a band, I automatically look for like Letterman performances or any live performances.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, just, I say this as somebody who's never, you know, can't sing, never performed aside from karaoke or anything like that.
I heard your campfire episode. I know. I've heard you sing, man. You've done it loud and proud.
I got to delete that. thank you very much. That means a lot coming from you. But just no stage presence. No stage presence from Wozniak.
Really?
The rest of the band just kind of like slogs through the music and...
I feel like I'm slogging through this music too, to be honest with you.
To be slogged through.
Yeah. So maybe you'll be happy to know they're still going today. They've released many albums, and I don't want to say they're like an underground band, but I feel like at the very least they're the same level that my old original band was, where they were still playing gigs, if nothing else. So I don't know if people were coming to see them or not. But yeah, this, like, I do remember feeling like this album was a slog, like you said.
Yeah.
Like trying to trudge through each of these songs. It was a challenge, not because it was good or challenging.
I'm going to have to take the challenge and listen to the album. Before Christmas break is over. I'll do my best.
Yeah.
I'll take it as a homework assignment. This song is like, I don't know, there's something sleepy about it.
Yes.
It's like everyone is sleepy. The singing is sleepy and the music is, and not sleepy like a lullaby, but like
dream, right?
Everyone who's trying to get through it is just tired.
About what they're going to do after
we got to record this.
The singer, the band, the audience. I get it. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because there's like no pizzazz to the singing voice. There's no pizzazz to the music. Are there any like solos or cool riffs or
there's
anything?
No bridge.
Yeah,
really. It's like, two short verses. Yeah, I don't know how this song was a hit because this was post grunge. This was in like the heyday of like your Third Eye Blinds and like the dawn of Matchbox 20 and like all that late 90s like pop rock that was around.
Yeah, sure.
This could be packaged for a Third Eye Blind audience, though. It's probably why I liked the song.
Maybe, yeah. But it's still not the riff-loaded, like, catchy rock guitar sound of Third Eye Blind. Like, you couldn't put this up against Never Let You Go.
No.
You know, they're two different worlds of pop rock.
You probably could. It probably was. Up against Never Let You Go. Yeah. What do you think, Sean? I mean, you talked about it as, like, a pop rock song. Do you think it fits the genre?
Definitely not when you kind of put it up against, you know, Third Eye Blind, which is more of, you know, that's more of like a sing-along, like forget what you're doing while you're driving.
Remember the hooks, kind of. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, you're not going to find a lot of like do-do-dos in a Marcy Playground song. And
so don't go looking for it, guys. Like
it is nowhere to be found. But yeah, I think that, I mean, the entire album is legitimately just sleepy. And, you know, it is very easy, I think, to interpret that as just Wozniak just droning on and like,
I do feel like it fits into a genre other than pop rock. Like you can hear, I don't know, for some reason, I, even though I know three of their songs, I'm going to put it along with like Wilco. I do feel like Wilco has a lot of that kind of like sleepy rock.
I have no idea who
sound.
That is.
They're Wilco, a very popular, unpopular band. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is there a better way to put it?
No. And I think that's exactly where Jeff Tweedy wants to be.
Yeah, there you go.
I do love Wilco. Wilco has a lot more credibility and a lot more, I think they're technically better musicians, but right. I think that's kind of the same.
Like, kind of like sleepy, lane. Like, it almost like turned into an alt country. Like, it could yeah. be like anywhere from the bad to terrible part of Ryan Adams' songwriting catalog.
This yeah. song always reminds me of, and I know they don't sound alike, Closing Time.
Really?
I don't know why. Like, whenever I think of this song, I also think of Closing Time.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they were around the same time.
I think they do have a similar, like, sleepy quality to them.
I feel like it sounds more like the slower, violent femme stuff. And I think maybe that's why you like it.
I don't know that I like it now.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I like the comparison to Violent Femmes, who I like very much.
Well, sorry. My bad. So
I feel like it might be offensive to Violent Femmes. I'm not sure.
Any sort of like sleepy, any of the bands that we saw in New Orleans before Mardi Gras when we yeah. went there, it was just a bunch of sleepy alt-country bands.
Yeah, except this isn't alt-country.
No. It doesn't have a similar tone to the
music,
I guess.
Rock version of that? I don't know what this is.
I'm going to
This is
put
just
it
what
there.
The Waz does, man. This is the, put a label on it.
This is how the Waz do. This is how the Waz do. Absolutely.
And I feel like I'm hating on this more than I meant to, because I don't actually hate this song.
No.
I thought you did.
I wouldn't say I hate this song. I hated this album. I would say that this was the best song on the album, and I thought it was, like, I'm lukewarm yeah. to it at best. Trying to understand what the hell he's talking about is the challenge of this song.
Should we try?
I think we should maybe try. Sean, as our guest, would you do us the honor of reading the chorus for us, please?
Oh, absolutely.
This is the best part of this song to read.
Absolutely.
This is the only hook. This is the only hook. This is the closest thing to a pulse this song gets.
I mean, I'll even pause where he pauses in the first line.
Cool.
I smell sex and candy here. Who's that lounging in my chair? Who's that casting devious stares in my direction? Mama, this surely is a dream.
I always thought that here was yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I definitely thought it was I smell sex and candy. Yeah.
But he pronounces things weirdly in the song.
Well, one of the things that I wrote down as we were listening earlier is that no one says candy the way that he says candy. Kende.
C-A-N-D-E-H.
Kende. Here? It's definitely yeah.
And it's not,
I argue
it's not the only weird pronunciation he has going on in this song, which we will get to. So the big thing about this song is that the phrase sex and candy came from when he was dating a girl. He was 17. He was dating a girl in college and he was going to visit her. And they were hanging out in her dorm room when her roommate walked in and said, "Oh, it smells like sex and candy in here." And he says he just, yeah. You want to talk about bridging the gap between adolescence and adulthood. Yeah. Sex and candy. It's like because you're obviously hooking up with your underage boyfriend. Who's clearly still into candy.
Wow.
But he says he just kept that phrase in the back of his head for the next like 7-8 years until he wrote this.
Until you just plugged it in a that's really something. I had never heard that story, which is surprising because I was about to share the nugget of information that the lead singer of Semisonic, who does Closing Time, has an Instagram account just entirely of calligraphy that he does.
What?
So Dan Wilson took it up. I think it's like Dan Wilson.
I remember he was doing like solo acoustic tours for a while. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to pull
this
train
off the tracks.
No, I'm writing it down. No. You have a Semisonic factoid? I would love to hear it.
Anytime.
All right, now I got a Dan Wilson Semisonic calligraphy Insta. It's a note. I'm going to look it up.
That's what he did after he gave up music, I guess.
I guess. That's a gross story behind
well, I think
the title of this
it is. It
song.
Truly is.
It's like, what were they? I mean, clearly I can imagine what they were doing, but why candy? Like, what? Oh.
Because he's a child. Because he was not in college. He was an underage kid. He'd made a joke in the interview I read that said, like, well, I always liked older women. Ha, ha, ha.
My God.
But the other thing is we're filling in the gaps here.
Yeah.
So he doesn't explicitly talk about boning his older girlfriend.
Right.
much like I just did.
Maybe this girl and her roommate just lived in a filthy, dirty dorm room.
I've been in dorm rooms before. That's true. Tell you, they don't smell like candy that often.
No,
that much I know.
I thought I had an epiphany last night, actually, like rereading these lyrics.
Okay.
Because for years and years, I mean, when you hear the song, you see the video in your mind,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's a very, you know, I think it's a coolly done video. It's weird as hell, but
yes.
And I think for years and years, like, that video clouded the interpretation that people okay. had of the song. And just reading it, you know, kind of building off of this, you know, boring, droning through theme that we have of the song just sounds like a dude sitting at a coffee shop downtown by himself and just seeing a girl. And yeah. then that's it. End of story.
Yeah. Nothing comes of it.
He just
sees a lady.
Yeah. I was hanging out by myself. I saw a girl. It reminded me of both sex and candy. End of song. The end.
And all of a sudden I smelled sex and candy.
Ugh. That's gross, yeah. though. Like from a female perspective,
yeah.
if somebody were ogling me and their internal reaction was, you know, I smell sex and candy, I'd be really upset to hear about that.
I'm thinking edible underwear.
Well, there's not underwear in the video.
There is that underwear in the video. They do have a little panty raid.
The band goes on a panty raid.
Yeah. Well,
two thirds
of the band find an old dresser. And
one third of the band is too busy
being attacked by spiders.
Staring a spider in the face.
Yeah.
In 2018, the panty raid is a little problematic.
It is.
But sure, but in 1997, it was all the rage.
It's true.
So.
I'm so confused by a lot of the details of the video, though, but I think I'm going to save it for right now and just focus on the lyrics.
Yeah, we'll focus on the video later. Can we talk about the lyrics to the chorus aside from sex and candy?
Yeah, but it's here.
Lounging in his chair. And no other point in the song does a chair come up.
No.
It seems like he's bitter that, in my mind, he's at this coffee shop,
yeah,
and his usual chair is taken.
Okay.
While
he's looking at some good-looking lady that strolls in.
If we look into the verses, there's some good textual evidence that he could be at a diner or a coffee shop. I mean, he's caffeinated. There is pie. So
yeah.
I think even though it doesn't explicitly state that he's at a coffee shop, we can make that inference. Like, I'd go on that journey
with you. If he's painting the scene of a coffee shop, then he doesn't need to say, I am at a coffee shop.
Yeah, first rule of writing, show, don't tell.
Exactly.
Beautifully done. Actually, great song.
So, well,
great job, Waz.
Let me tell you what the Waz had to say about this song, because I have several different quotes where he's describing, I'll say. So the first one I have is just plain and simple. He says, quote, it's imagery, it's nonsense.
They are
end quote. Yeah.
So, at least he's honest.
Yeah, that's true. So trying to figure out this nonsense, it might be a waste of time, but at the same time, it feels like it shouldn't be nonsense. Like perhaps he was originally trying to not write nonsense, and then he just turned it into nonsense to fill out the remainder of those 3 minutes.
Been there.
I know. I've heard those earlier episodes, Sean. I know.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it definitely sounds like that. Gosh, Wazzy, Wazzy, Waz, what'd you do to us?
It kind of falls into this, and I think the video does as well, into this like mid to late 90s
right.
post-grunge trap of writing and of video creation, where it's like going for the appearance of symbolism. Like we're trying to make it look yeah. like it's symbolic and that something deeper is going on here.
Yes.
But then you scratch the surface and you realize like none of this hangs together.
Oh, there's so much of that in the late 90s. It's mm-hmm. like weird for weirdness sake. And I'm thinking specifically of the video for Down Together by The Refreshments.
Okay. And you love The Refreshments.
I do. I love that album. Lead singer Roger Klein is a phenomenal songwriter. That video is just like bizarro for bizarro's sake.
Yeah.
It's just all of a sudden there's an image of like one of those little squeezy toy things, and then there's another image of a plate spinning around. Or let's go back to Champagne Supernova.
Ridiculous.
Why? For the sake of ridiculousness.
Yeah.
So, it's like when Mo the bartender in some Simpsons episode, like he describes postmodernism as just weird for the sake of being weird.
Yeah.
And that's what I always think of when I see just kind of clumsily put together like lines of imagery. Like, I don't know why he mentions disco twice in this song.
Right.
Just stuff two like times. That, like disco, lemonade, double, you know.
I mean, even in this chorus, there's nothing to really like create a through line.
Right.
You know, why does it surely have to be a dream that somebody's sitting in his chair? Like, it,
dig it.
And then you dig it. Like, yeah. But it's also in this time period where sort of a vague throwback to the 60s or the 70s right. was also popular. Look at Champagne Supernova.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
So sure. You have like sort of psychedelic imagery. You've got like a washed out video. You've got some abstractions that are supposed to seem deep, but really have nothing going on. And you've got a song in 1997.
There you go. Big hit song. Then record setting hit mm-hmm. song. That's crazy to me. Of all the songs to set records, like that boggles my mind.
Yeah.
Can I tell you guys what Rolling Stone had to say about this song?
Please.
It's a mouthful, so forgive me if I need to take several breaths in this one sentence. It's like a James Joyce style sentence.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Rolling Stone called it, quote, an unappetizing artificial sweetener marriage of down-tempo Nirvana chords and greasy Dave Matthews frat minstrel sensitivity concerning a sad sack strung out on hippie lingo and caffeine.
Frat minstrel sensitivity is yeah. my new favorite phrase.
Oh, that's great. That I there's love so that. Many that's for all the John Mayers and Jack Johnsons and and of course the Dave Matthews
oh, yeah.
band.
Yeah.
You guys got to do Jack Johnson so bad.
There's what were Jack Johnson's hits? Like Bubble Toes. Bubble
I can't toes. Even stand that.
There's Waiting, Wishing, Watching, whatever that song
Banana
was.
Banana Pancakes, I believe
was
one
that
of
a
them.
Hit? I know that was a song. I think it was off of the Curious George soundtrack.
Jack Johnson for me came at a time when I was just downloading stuff.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like an album a records person then, and that was like right around that's right before like my friend introduced me to. I was very late coming to the party to like Dylan and Talking Heads and stuff like that. So I basically listened to like five bands that were not on the radio.
Right.
And 20, 30 years after their heyday. And so I don't know what was a hit and what wasn't, but I do know that that's always in like the conversation on Jack Johnson, whatever one.
His first big hit was that one with Ben Harper.
Yes.
It seems to me like lately. I don't know if those are the actual words. Please, please, please.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Seems
to me like lately.
Oh man,
Bubble Toes is like the worst.
Oh,
thing.
You're driving me
Flake.
Crazy though. What is
Flake? Was the name of the
Flake.
Song? No, maybe
was it
Flake? Ben Harper and Jack Johnson. I think that was Flake.
Probably. Let's
yeah.
go with it.
Yeah, let's not even Google it. Let's just
not
say
even
it
waste
it.
Our time looking up Jack Johnson songs. Jack Johnson was like designed to be on a beach campfire.
Yeah.
So that's the entirety of that. But that exactly. entire like subgenre of like white acoustic guitar playing pop rock singers. That's frat minstrel rock right there.
Frat minstrel sensitivities.
Frat minstrel sensitivities.
And it's a good analysis of this right. song as
yeah.
well. I don't know about the saccharine sweet part though, except for the reference to candy. I mean, other than that, there's really nothing sweet about this song. So
it's
I would take
not,
issue
it's certainly
Rolling
not
Stone
artificial
over that.
Sweetener. I'll tell you
yeah.
that much.
Yeah.
Take it from me.
Mm-hmm.
So
you'd find it more palatable if it was, I guess.
Exactly.
You'd be able to digest it better.
Great diabetic joke, Katie.
Woo! Working on it.
In there. Suck on that, pancreas. Katie, do you want to go ahead and read verse one for us?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I thought it was hanging out. I don't know these words, apparently.
You told me today that you think you know all of the words to this song.
Yeah,
after I said I think I know all of the words
well,
to this
song. Well, this says that the words are hanging around downtown by myself.
I think it's hanging around. Hanging apostrophe round.
Maybe it's hanging around. I thought it was hanging out.
Sean, as the Marcy Playground expert, can you please
sure.
give us your opinion on what...
I believe it's hanging around.
Okay.
But
is it around or is it like hanging round?
Oh, it's definitely hanging around because hanging around, obviously throw that second G out on hanging.
Yeah.
But a
it's
round,
a waste of time.
Just
you're just wasting
syllables.
Time with that.
You're like
wasting time. We got
slurring
things to
those
do.
Two words together. Hanging around.
Hanging
slurring
around.
Them
one
together.
Word.
Yeah. Hanging around. Well, because hanging around is not going to fit the meter of the
right.
song.
Right.
Even hanging around isn't going to fit the meter of the song. Yeah. So
that's why you got to Counting Crows that shit.
All right. Hang around.
Beat me to it.
I like this wavelength we're working on. All right, Katie, go ahead.
All right. So hanging around downtown by myself, and I had so much time to sit and think about myself. Then there she was, like double cherry pie. Yeah, there she was, like disco superfly.
What's your favorite simile in this verse, Katie?
I prefer disco superfly to double cherry pie.
Okay.
Disco superfly makes me think of the Hey Ladies video from Beastie Boys.
I don't know if I've ever watched the
video. I like
that
a lot better. It's amazing. I don't know what double cherry pie is.
So
like, can one fit twice as many cherries into a pie?
Here's what I found out, because yes, I Googled double cherry pie and disco superfly. Double cherry pie is where you use two different types of cherries.
That's stupid.
Oh.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't create the
Woz
recipe.
Did not know that.
No,
he didn't know anything. Syllables to fit into that line.
In fact, the phrase disco superfly may have been coined by Marcy Playground, because Superfly was certainly around. But that was Curtis Mayfield. You know, mm-hmm. That was funk music. That was like 70s funk. There's no connection to disco. And people online are arguing that, like, oh, that was his way of saying she was super cool. Oh, she's disco superfly. But they're did not exist prior to 1997.
But at least it makes some sense together. Like, let's take this one 70s thing and this other 70s thing and put it together and make a thing that probably does mean cool.
I argue that it doesn't make sense because one cannot be there like Disco Superfly. One cannot be there like Double Cherry Pie.
Mm-hmm.
The comparison is way off.
Well, it's like, there she was in front of me as if she were a double cherry pie. There she was in front of me as if she were Disco Superfly.
Would like, you ever,
like can be replaced with an as and you sort of make it work.
If you were sitting around with your buddies, would you ever say, like, do you guys know how, like, double cherry pie is just there? It's like...
In my mind, that person has no friends, and he's just speaking to a bunch of mannequins.
My only friends are different types of pie.
I don't know why I'm defending this. Sean, go ahead.
Do you think that double cherry, like, this girl is so super fly that she is like the girl in Warrant's cherry pie video, but twice that?
Ooh, nicely done.
Goddamn,
maybe?
Sean. Goddamn, Sean. Goddamn you and your flawless logic. Oh,
just using your
using
love
hair
of hair metal
against
you.
I think we cracked the case here.
I want to defend...
To answer your question, no.
I think it's a fair theory. I'm on your side, Sean.
Thank you.
Put a smile on your face, 10 miles wide? No. 20 miles wide.
Double it. Double it, baby.
Oh, man.
I don't think it's ridiculous to say there she was like something. It might be ridiculous to say there she was like Disco Superfly. But like... If you were talking to someone about like a beautiful woman that you saw, you might say like, and oh God, I don't know. Every simile that I could make is going to be so stupid. But
yes,
like,
because it's a stupid simile.
But it's not odd to say, and there she was like the hottest girl I've ever seen. Or there she was like an angel who fell from heaven or like whatever gross
thing somebody
would say.
Did you just barf a little bit in your own mouth when you said that?
Yeah, I did barf.
Well, it goes back to I think he's channeling. I'm honestly just
boy,
playing.
Oh boy!
I'm just,
go
I'm
for
just
it. You go.
No, work with
here.
This. Work with
but,
this.
You know, a pretty damn good poet one time wrote, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" That's all the Woz is doing here. He's just
ripping up Shakespeare. he's just diving deep into his basket
there,
of sonnets. I would love to read Wozniak's sonnets. Yeah, sonnets.
To be fair, if he's making up new words, like if we've never seen the phrase disco superfly before 1997, he practically is Shakespeare himself.
There you go.
I just barfed again.
Do you
guys
feel bad about yourself?
I do.
Like, you're like, oh, I'm a little ashamed to be married to you, to be honest.
I just sent back my Hamlet whiskey glass that you just
got
me.
Yeah, that was
Christmas.
A good glass.
It was great.
Yeah, look into it. Uncommon Green, they sell whiskey rocks glasses.
Not a sponsor, because we don't have
any. Not a sponsor. We don't have sponsors.
Same.
Sean's not a sponsor. Can I tell you something else that the Woz has said about this song?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
This was in an interview in 2010. He says, quote, "I was coming up with disco era references that I was making up."
Okay. seems.
Do you think
there,
that
it is.
If you were to interview William Shakespeare, he would talk about references that he was just making up?
Probably.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think that was a bad point I just made.
Yeah. I think he'd be like, I needed a word that fit the meter. So instead of eye, I said eyeball.
I was going to say, yeah. Who's got balls in their eyes? Come on.
Eyeball. Let's go. How do we feel about the cherry reference in general? Does anyone have any thoughts or feelings about this?
In this song, I didn't really think of it as sexual.
I think me either. And I think that it's because it's just overshadowed by, I mean, Sex and Candy is the name of the song.
Yeah.
So I think that it's, it's one of the many, many sexual references, and it's not as needing of analysis or decomposing, mm-hmm. if you will.
I will.
So yeah, it never really struck me though, but I mean, it's hard to think about it any other way.
I think maybe this guy's not good at sexual references.
Yeah, it's like an icky one.
Or sex, probably.
But he's probably not that good at sex, but you would have to ask his college-age girlfriend.
God.
Baby girl, I just want to eat this candy.
I just don't like, gross.
I meant like actual candy, like a pack of Twizzlers that he had picked up.
Don't
at the
ruin
local
Twizzlers for
shop.
Me. Yeah. Those are my favorite candy.
Starburst.
Oh, man.
Is that better?
Yes. Yeah. I don't care for them that much. They're fine.
Sean, what's your favorite candy?
Oh, God. You know what? That's tough. That's how does one gauge what makes a good candy?
You go to a movie.
It's just like, what is in your heart?
I think it's going to be Reese's Pieces.
Nice.
Or like anything that has peanut butter and chocolate in it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Regular, like milk chocolate, or like a dark chocolate peanut butter combo?
You know, I can't do dark chocolate every single day. But, you know, I think when I when I'm feeling froggy, I'm gonna have some chocolate.
Nice Krispy Kreme.
Right, there we go.
Yeah. So yes, I forgot about that.
When you're feeling froggy fresh, maybe, is it?
Oh my God, that Christmas song is so funny. That's a good bit.
Have you heard his Denzel Washington song?
No.
Oh, it's great.
No, I need to check that out. He actually played.
Oh,
Huntsville, Alabama. When I was down working on a campaign,
Performed in the area.
I assume.
Wait,
he played at I forget the name of the venue, but it's there's like a little downtown district here that's, you know, the cool part of downtown, and he it's, you know, it's like a old record shop and stuff like that that he played. It's the same place that if you know who MC Chris is from Adult Swim fame.
Yeah,
he played one of his first concerts in Huntsville. And he obviously closed with Fetz Vet, and the power went out, and like he just kind of walked off stage because he thought everybody was going to kill him.
Really?
So, yeah.
He sang a song called I Want Candy or Give Me Candy or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I was actually wondering, did this come out the same year that Mandy Moore's Candy came out?
We'll find out. I've got
because that's a terrible
right
candy
me,
song,
so.
Too.
Even she hates it.
Yeah.
Yes. And I like Mandy Moore. She's fine, you know? But that song's awful. I mean, she was just a little girl when that song came out. 99. Okay.
Another Decomposition Pod connection there. She did a duet with the lead singer of the New Radicals for the Walk to Remember soundtrack.
Wow.
Of course she did.
Because why not?
Because why not?
How many soundtracks were you buying in the late 90s?
Oh, my God. Too many. Actually, what am I... One of my earlier, CDs that I had was a band called Dead Eye Dick, who sang New Age Girl off of the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack.
Yep,
and I was I love this song. I gotta, so that
you
was,
would know
I think,
that
number,
song, Katie.
CD
number
two.
She's a vegetarian.
No, I don't know that song.
Right. Fantastic song.
I'll look it up. Probably not, actually. I probably won't look it up.
Maybe I'll just play it for you someday.
All right, if I'm lucky.
What were we talking about?
Well, I don't like the cherry pie reference. It grosses me out a little bit. I don't like references to like ladies and cherries. That grosses me out a little bit.
Do you like the Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
I don't like the name of that band. Yeah. That's
I can't believe
disgusting.
They got away with that name.
I mean, like, that's really, that's gross.
Yeah.
That's gross. Those three words together are disgusting. Like, cause
what about the band Wild Cherry?
But Cherry Pop and Daddies is worse because they're daddies. Like, that's gross. Nobody.
How,
is
can,
with
we
me.
Make this
How
grosser?
Can we make this
I
grosser?
Know. Add daddy at the end.
Yeah. We are. Oh boy.
And then, like, in every song, make sure to incorporate like "Who's your daddy? Yes, I am" or something.
I think
gross
that's just the one
like
song.
That. I don't know. It's probably in every.
It's probably
song.
In every single.
It's probably in
pop,
every
yeah.
song. And I'm trying to think of other songs that have candy in them, and they're all bad. Like,
Okay.
I Want Candy Girl
by New Edition.
Mm.
I Want Candy by Bow Wow Wow. Mm-hmm. I don't know who originally did that.
This
Sean,
song.
What's your favorite Candy song?
Ooh, it's got to be this one. I got to tell you. Wow.
Loves
this song.
Loves it. Still loves it.
No hesitation. Can't, yeah. I have to stall to tell you my favorite type of candy, but candy song, definitely this one.
Nailed it. Nailed it. Just right, absolutely. Right on the tip of your tongue.
And then there she was, like double cherry pie. Yet there she was, like disco superfly.
Should I go ahead and read verse two here?
Yeah, why not?
I'm looking at the lyrics.
It's just going to say double and disco again.
That's true. Hanging around downtown by myself, and I've had too much caffeine, and I was thinking about myself. And then there she was, in platform double suede. Yeah, there she was, like disco lemonade.
I'm sorry, I need to count for a second.
Please.
So if there's a little dead air, I apologize, but I need to do some counting.
You really nailed the pronunciation.
There's the other weird pronunciation right there. That's, yeah. So it's not just candy. It's also singing lemonade.
That might be one of the more fun parts of the song to sing.
What part is more fun than that? What part is more fun than lemonade?
If there is, we haven't found it.
That's true. Well, this is the end of the lyrics. So.
So, there are good songs. There's an Incubus song called Are You In? And yeah, it's kind of similar to this. I think there are seven unique words in that entire song.
I'm thinking like the same Are You In? It's like kind of funky. It's
Yeah. I meant like lyrically, there's very there's not a lot of new words in that. there's like three lines, but it's, you know, a 4-minute song. And I think that's done well. This just kind of, again, you know, it's what we talked about before, comes off as kind of lazy and like, okay, well, this should be good enough.
Well, I know he said that he, even though he had the line, I smell sex and candy, for years and years, the song was written in less than an hour. Shocking, I know. or did you count?
I did some counting. Both verses, well, it depends on how you count Superfly. Do we count Superfly as one word or two words?
That's one word.
One word.
One word, like a compound word.
The movie is one word, so.
Okay. So verse one has 32 words in it. Verse two has 33 words in it. Only 10 words are different between the two verses. So like 23 words, I guess, are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In both verses.
Just phoning it in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, obviously, choruses repeat. There's only two verses in this song. I mean, we just did Fairy Tale in New York a few weeks ago. There's six verses in that song.
Right. Yeah.
Right? There's only two verses in the song, no bridge, and only 10 words are different between the first verse and the second verse. And that's me, like, giving them all the words I can give them. Like, I counted was. I counted, like, think versus thinking.
Yeah.
That's
astonishing.
That might be my the defense I go to most often in Cold Dog Soup, the podcast that I guess we used to do.
it's Cold Dog Soup presents this. That's disgusting.
Exactly.
That's so many words, man. That's so many words. That's more words than this song is. You know
seriously.
That, right?
Like,
I like to just call it Cold Dog Soup. But that's the defense I go to a lot when my co-host would grill me about my high school poetry and me halfway jokingly defending it and actually defending it, is that you look at lyrics like this and like what I wrote in high school, it's not that different.
I would agree. I would agree.
People made money off this.
You're talking about a 16-year-old boy writing stuff that is on the same level as at that time, mid-20s.
Absolutely.
Famous record-setting musicians.
Charge people money.
I'm going to argue that Sean is always defending his poetry. Like, you might say your joke defending it. You're defending it.
I am. I am. You are. Authentically, genuinely.
I also like...
As you should.
I also think that you calling Hankins and Creole, quote, grilling you about your poetry, that's cute. That's adorable. Really trying to rip into you. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes Creel is on board.
He is. That
I think he determines what he finds funnier, if I'm not on board or if I am on board.
That was going to be the opening bit, is just he eventually he would come around and piss the Hankins off. But yeah. Hey, you know what? For more, listen to Cold Dog Soup.
That's right.
Like and subscribe. rate, exactly. review, do all that fun stuff. So I think that if it weren't for the chorus of this song, the theory that it takes place in a coffee shop holds water.
Yeah, it does.
And stands up. But that chorus really like sucks all that. What's the word I'm looking for? The evidence?
Sense?
Yeah. Right out the window.
Well, he himself said it was nonsense.
Yes, he did. In fact, I can tell you something else he said.
I can't believe you haven't called it nonsense garbage.
You know
yet,
why I'm like... trying to get away from that phrase because I realize like how much I say it.
Right. But like if there was one
time that's a shirt.
You were going to go for it and just call something nonsense. You actually have like the evidence to back it up.
I do have the evidence. In fact, he said, quote, it's nonsense. But
yeah.
he said, when asked about the song, he said, quote, I'm just going to be straight up honest. I don't know.
Wow.
That is three of five quotes I have where he just doesn't know what to make of his own song.
And this isn't like one of those struggling to find a comparison, but this isn't like a song or a painting or a movie where the director or the artist or whoever wants his or her audience to figure it out.
Right. It's not Inception.
Or Southland Tales or like something.
It's not like you're not going up to like a Matisse or a Pollock and looking at it and be like, oh, this is the way this makes me feel. This is Sex and Candy by Marcy Place.
Right. Yeah. It's the audio version of Matisse, I like to think. Yeah. It's audio impressionism is what is. Yeah. It's just a bunch of stuff that's supposed to look like something.
No, it's frat minstrel sensitivity. It is not audio impressionism.
It's greasy Dave Matthews frat minstrel sensitivity. Yeah. I like that he calls it greasy, too.
Mm-hmm. As if Dave Matthews wasn't also greasy.
Significantly less
After
greasy
playing
than
like a 17-minute version of Two Step, wouldn't you be?
Who wouldn't be?
That's true. At the very least, pretty slick.
Yeah. You know?
Pretty slick. No clue what platform double suede is. I tried to find out what platform double suede is.
They're suede platform shoes, right?
Yeah.
Double.
Is double suede a thing?
It was a disco era reference that he was making up.
Okay.
According to a quote from Wozniak, yeah.
They're shoes. I mean, in 1997, platform shoes for girls were back in fashion.
Yeah.
So,
Were they? In 97?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I had them. I wore them.
A scant 21 years ago, Katie and her platinum double suede.
Platform, not platinum. Platinum. I've never owned anything that was platinum.
Well,
not jewelry, not an album. Yeah.
Yeah. I did find out, however, that since this song was a hit, they have turned disco lemonade into a legit beverage that, according to drinksmixer.com, is made from vodka, blue curacao, and lemonade.
Hey, you want to know something funny?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
That's the drink we had at our wedding.
That's right. That was our specialty cocktail at our wedding.
But we didn't call it
disco lemonade.
Disco lemonade.
God.
I'll have to post pictures of disco lemonade then.
And according to drinksmixer.com, it scores a 9.8 out of 10.
It is delicious. It was called Electric Blue Lemonade or something like that, where I got the recipe.
Disco lemonade. But I also want to share the only written review I read of this says, wow, this is the best lemonade I've ever had, period. I used Smirnoff vodka and Cointreau orange liqueur with lemonade and made it a tad bit stronger with this recipe. I just added 1/2 ounce more of vodka and Cointreau and kept the lemonade amount the same. But damn, this is a good drink.
A+. But it's not even supposed to have Cointreau in it. It's not the same drink.
If you make a different drink that's similar to this drink, it scores a 9.8 out of 10 on drinksmixer.com.
It's a tasty, refreshing summer beverage, I would say.
True. Happy January.
Especially if it's frozen. Can you imagine how good a frozen disco lemonade?
This was posted.
Lemonade.
This was posted on December 11th of 2006, Katie. So it certainly was not a refreshing summer beverage when they were posting the reviews on it.
These people are animals.
Wild animals. Tarantula spiders, dare I say.
Should we talk about the video?
You want to talk about the video?
I don't know.
Let's talk about the video.
Okay.
It's a weird video.
It's totally weird.
It makes no sense. It was directed by this like surreal artist who had directed several other surreal things. Interesting factoid about him. I can't remember what his name is, but his brother is the drummer for the Wallflowers.
That's fun.
So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Wallflowers had some weird videos, too.
Yes,
he
did.
Directed them.
So he did not.
Okay.
In fact, he directed several other videos, but none were by any artists that I was familiar with. So
this is like the most 90s video.
Yeah,
it's
up there.
Ticks all the boxes for a 90s
video. Weird for the sake of being
video.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I have some questions.
Yes.
So it appears that they're in like a dirty apartment.
Right.
In some scenes, that might also be a castle. I'm not sure.
Are you talking about the panty raid?
Well, I feel like that dresser where they do the panty raid is in the same dirty apartment slash possible castle that they're
like
hanging out.
It might be the dorm room.
Which could be a dorm room because, you know, man can make his castle anywhere, I suppose.
Exactly. True.
But
big arched walkways, yeah.
Whose dirty apartment slash castle is it? Because it looks at first like it's theirs. They are there just hanging out in it.
So, oh, sorry, Sean, go right ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, like going through these lyrics, if we're to assume that we're correct, that he's at a coffee shop, he sees a girl, and he immediately, his mind is like, I smell sex and candy.
It must be a dream.
God. In his head, giving it way more,
go
way
for
more
it.
Credit.
You go for it.
You're working it.
It's like in his head, he just sees a person in a normal, everyday occurrence. And then like the little band in his brain is raiding her panty drawer. Which... I don't know if that's what they were trying to, but if, you know, his explanation of his lyrical sensibilities on this is just, I don't know, man. Like, I put a couple things together. Like,
what about
is this interview over?
The spiders. The spider.
Who knows how much thought that they actually
spoiders.
Put into it.
Yeah, spoiders.
So, I mean, a spider, especially when associated with women, like, does have a symbolic meaning. And then they do hang a shoe from the ceiling as if it's, like, at the end of a fishing line and they're trying to catch it. So I felt like there was maybe, like a bait will catch you sort of motif going on
and
there.
The guy was falling for it.
With the shoe and the spider. I mean, I think I'm giving the Waz too much credit here. Or
I don't think
video
this is up
director,
to the Waz at all.
The video
to be honest,
director
yeah.
too much credit. But I mean, you know, if you have a spider associated with a woman, then you think of like black widows and they're poisonous. And like, so it's a woman who's dangerous for men in some way. Well, Arachne is a totally different story. I do have Arachne written down here. Arachne was turned into a spider as punishment. And so that. You'd have to use the
Wasn't
spider.
Wasn't it for stealing a man, though?
No. I think she said that she was a better weaver than Athena. And
do you want me
so...
to just make shit up about Greek mythology?
No, right? I'm pretty sure that I'm right about this, but somebody could fact check me. I'm totally open to that. I think she claimed to be a better, like, better at the spindle.
Okay.
Like, better at spinning yarn or whatever it was called than Minerva or Athena. And so as punishment, Athena was like, look, bitch, you want to spin all day? You want to say you're better than me? Boom, you're a spider. And thus spiders exist.
So spiders weren't around before then. So
I think that's like the natural occurrence that the myth is supposed to explain is the existence of spiders. But that has a different like symbolic meaning than maybe a black widow would or something.
Sure.
I still don't know why he is in yellow and blue checkerboard hilly floor.
Just his head popping out.
Just his head popping
out
and a spider.
Sometimes a spider's a real spider. Sometimes it's a puppet spider.
I don't know.
I'd like to, if I could, get back to the panty raid for a moment.
Please.
Well, wait. Did Sean
finally.
Have anything to say about the spider?
No. I mean, there's not that much more analysis that you can really take from it aside from like, you know, it just seems to me that it's taking all agency that... the author is kind of like taking all agency away from himself. So like whatever I do, if I fall in love or if I have, you know, more, you know, physical designs on this woman, then it's not my fault because it's her fault because she trapped me in her web and she's coming to get me with her
she
eight arms.
She baited me with her shoe hook.
My head stuck in the floor. What am I going to do?
Nicely said.
There we go. Yeah. The band initially like brings that dresser into this dorm room castle and then raids it.
Maybe it's their apartment. They stole it from her and then they raided it.
But I'm saying like, wouldn't you check it out before you brought it to the apartment where you're just going to destroy it anyway? Like, why carry that
underwear.
Thing up steps or anything?
Nice. Like, maybe it's their underwear. We were being so heteronormative.
That's true.
Over here. And
we were being very 1997 about
this. And it could have just been their panties.
That's true.
We're being a real episode of Friends from. one of these days I'll stay on topic. As somebody who has moved way too many times over the past 2 years,
2 years. Yeah.
2 years.
That's quite a difference.
It is. I hate moving furniture. So sure. That my brain definitely went to that space too.
Like, why are they wasting their time carrying this there if they're just going
to
destroy
it? Have to take
it?
The drawers out first.
Just take the panties, put them in like a trash bag, bring them home with you, and then like sniff them all you want. Do your
trash
thing.
Bag.
Those are just garbage panties anyway.
That
guys.
Is how you
is that what smells like sex and candy?
Panties. I mean, do people
maybe
not know how to steal panties?
God,
I
for
don't.
Those wondering for hot tips
guys,
on how to
yeah,
steal underpants,
Katie has an airtight plan.
I don't know how you like break in or get out unnoticed or anything,
but don't worry about that.
Just
we're talking
like
about
if
the
you
actual
have a trash bag.
She's the Danny Ocean of panty stealing slash sniffing.
Yeah.
Oh God!
Hire a crew of one other guy.
You find a small acrobat.
Yeah.
You go in through the vents.
Find one really, really old man.
Yeah.
There are a few things that really make me uncomfortable. And this video is just a nightmare for me.
It makes you uncomfortable.
Spiders, you know what? Anybody can have their, you know, I don't want to call them, well, you know, fetishes, whatever they're interested in. That's fine. But two things weird me out: feet and people who steal panties.
Oh, and you've got the shoe and the panties here.
And spiders.
And spiders. Spoilers.
Can we take a
it's
moment?
Like they wrote it for me.
Can we talk about how they choose to decorate their walls by like plastering over string and then pulling the string out of the
it's
plaster?
It's weird.
I'd do that. I think it's a pretty cool look, to be honest.
I think it is, too. It's completely out of place in this video.
What's in place in this video, Sean? What is in place?
There's no cherry pie. There's no disco lemonade. There's no coffee shop. Like,
right.
We could have made sense out of this video. There's no girl.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the...
With that should have been the first thing I
mentioned. With the exception of, like, the random hands at the end that are pushing the waz over into a puddle of paint that's to look like blood.
Oh, yeah. So I forgot about that part.
The floor, this is very interesting, and I think it means nothing.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to mean something, but it means nothing. The floor is blood red, and his shirt is that grayish blue, and then they press down on him until what runs out of him is this like grayish blue.
But it's all behind him
liquid.
As well.
No, but it's all around. It's like if somebody were laying face down in a pool of their own blood, and it was like spilling out all around them, except the floor is blood red, and the blood is blue.
Well, I think you're right. I think it doesn't mean anything.
I think I'm right, too.
I will say this, that if we are to suppose that what he says in the chorus is the truth, Mama, this must be a dream.
Mm.
Maybe this is just like weird, surreal dream imagery that may or may not mean anything.
I think that's probably what he wants us to think, because that's the easy way out, right?
Yeah. You just say like it's a dream.
He's like, I don't know what the song is about, so I may as well make sure that nobody else does either.
Do you think that the woman in the coffee shop and Jay Wozniak eventually got together, or the author of the song?
No.
Do you think he mustered up the bravery to say, hey,
I'm going
to
say no.
People call me the Woz.
I'm going to say no, because in the song, he does nothing about seeing this girl.
I've been waiting for the sequel for 21
there we go.
Years.
That's right. Postpartum
Sex and Candy 2. Electric Boogaloo.
waiting for Walk of Shame and Candy.
Yeah.
That'd be a good song.
I think that works.
I don't know what you're doing tomorrow, Sean, but if you want to write a song via FaceTime.
Yeah, it's just there she was and it must be a dream. But like, you're right. He takes no action.
Yeah.
He was just hanging out, thinking about himself.
Yeah. And jittery. He was jittery in the video, too. I like the fact that he had that weird jitter when he sang he had too much caffeine.
And again, from viewing a couple of those live performances from Marcy Playground, it is probably the most animated he is.
Oh, God.
In the video.
His face is like slack in the video.
Yeah.
There's like nothing happening there.
So you still love this album, huh, Sean?
I think it's a unique album. I'm going to give it another listen. I'll get back to you guys.
Ooh, maybe we've ruined it for him.
Would you invest in their follow-up albums to this?
You know, I think I actually bought their follow-up based on this album. I'm trying to find what their, I think it was like Shapeshifter was their album after this. And I bought that from just not hearing, I just sight unseen. I don't think I heard a single or anything like that. And, just reading the wiki right now, like they have a song called It's Saturday, and it's like, it's nothing to write home about. Like I say this as somebody who genuinely likes that entire album. It's even worse. So if you, okay. if you dislike that album, well, there's a lot of garbage.
There's a lot of garbage.
Very little appeal when you give me a song title like It's Saturday.
Yeah. Like, it better be a party
what
song.
What could it be
I'm
about?
Saying it better be a party song.
Their third album was just called MP3.
Yeah.
Stop it. Lazy. Try harder.
This band seems very lazy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting angry.
Oh, no.
at these
fired like, up.
I am genuinely shocked that they are still, I mean, you know, their last album was 2012, but.
But they toured like last year with.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts to me.
With who?
Oh, Lit was one of them. Jim Blossom.
Oh, my God.
I can't remember.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, Nostalgia Nightmare Tour. Oh,
Summerland boy. Tour with Everclear and Local H.
That's gross. Local H.
Of Balcom 4 fame.
Yeah. My current boss loves Local H. Like, from that era. And we're not talking about just Bound to the Floor. We're talking about, like, the whole album.
Yeah, I don't think I can name another song.
No, why would you?
Summerland is Everclear's branded tour.
Okay. Who else is on that tour? Everclear, Lit, Local H, Gin Blossoms.
Everclear, Marcy Playground, Local H. They did not perform in 2017. Mm. 16 was Sugar Ray, Lit, Sponge, and Everclear.
I would see Sponge live.
But this is like sad, you know.
Yeah,
it's very bad.
This song was their moneymaker. This is the song that they lazily threw together so that they could basically live as musicians. Forever.
In that respect, good for them. Because like, if they managed to make a bunch of money, and I hope they did, off of this, then good for them. Although, knowing some things about how the record industry works, they may not have made that much money in the end.
True.
By the time they paid back everything you have to pay back, they might have just like broke even.
I hope they sold a lot of merch.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, the song went platinum, went to number one for, or the album went platinum. Song went to number one for 15 weeks.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's 4 months.
That's 4 months.
You're going to ask me to grade it, and I don't even know what the assignment is.
What assignment could you possibly make up to...
It could be like, write a stream of consciousness poem inspired by a location you visited. You know, and then it's like, I was at a coffee shop and here's what came out of my brain. And then I guess it's like a B.
Would this be?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Now I've barfed a little in my mouth.
How can you objectively grade surrealism?
Well, that's it.
That's,
like,
that's the hardest part.
You know.
But it's not surreal. Would you call this surreal?
After this conversation, I would call it lazy.
Yeah.
It is, you know. I think there's a difference, you know, this, like Salvador Dali, this is not.
Right.
No. And even like Radiohead, this is not.
Right, yeah.
You know, you can be abstract and have some like, depth, but this doesn't make me feel anything.
The Pixies have that song Debaser, which is structurally similar to this, I guess, maybe like lyrically, because it's just, I mean, he's narrating what's happening in a Salvador Dali short film, but... It's just a couple lines and then whoa, 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 whoa. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
And that's good.
Like
the
ultimate surreal hit song.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it was at a different time.
Yeah.
Like if that song came out in the mid-90s, it would not have been a hit.
No.
But then you have this. Then you have Disco Lemonade.
I think if something is going to be abstract, it has to make you feel something. Not that it has to make
you... This makes me feel tired.
Right. Like, I actually have yawned several times.
Sure.
And you guys are delightful, so it's not you.
It's not even a sexy song. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's trying to do, but no, it's not.
Again, the Waz is probably no good at sex.
No, and I think about smelling sex and candy. I mean, that's... It's just a gross song. Exactly. You barfed a little.
What's the sexiest candy, Katie?
I don't know. Don't make candy
sexy. Double cherry pie?
Well, double cherry pie isn't candy. No, it's pie. Right.
It's got to be mounds, right?
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Oh, God. Thank you.
So, Katie, windows down, radio up?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm still singing
for
along.
Sure. Sean, sure. you're still
100%.
Windows down, radio up?
Absolutely. I hate everybody associated with this song and this record now, but still, windows down, radio up.
I'm not embarrassed to, like, shout sex and candy. You know, Kende. I'm definitely saying it, Kende.
I have never and will never turn this radio up for this song. Turn my car radio up for this song.
Okay. You own the CD.
It may have been my brother.
Okay. We'll blame him.
We may have borrowed it from Tim. That's also possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anything else that we have to say about the song?
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we can safely say this has been the most exhaustive conversation about this song. And I could not be more prouder to be a part of it.
For now.
We put more effort into talking about this song than they put into creating the song, but that's sort of what we do here at Decomposition.
Sure. We spent more time decomposing the song than he spent writing it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
By his own admission, yeah.
Oh, how long did he spend writing the song?
An hour.
That's long. I thought it was going to be like one of the 15-minute
He should have been able to write it in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Even the music.
He was probably high.
We like to accuse people of being high. We don't know their lives.
Yeah, actually, I do have a quote about that if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, I would.
So another quote that came out of the Waz's mouth. When I was very young, I experimented with drugs. But when I was writing these songs, I wasn't high. But it sounds like I was high.
Oh, God. Now it sounds like he was trying to sound like he was high. And that's really, that's pathetic. That's a bummer.
That's worse.
That is worse.
The song's still going to be?
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. It's fine.
This is not an assignment that's worth a whole lot.
Yeah, this is like
ultimately.
Maybe it's an assignment you don't grade. Like maybe it was just you're studying.
It's either complete or incomplete.
Someone else's stream of consciousness work, and so you just throw it out there, like give it a try and see what happens, and that's it. It's graded for completion. Like you tried it. We can share a little bit and talk about that experience, but it doesn't need to get a grade. Now, if it's gonna go freaking platinum, though,
yeah,
I don't know.
So this song gets a complete, is what you're saying.
This gets a complete. If this is a pass-fail grade, and it gets a pass.
Sure. Sean, would you do us a favor and just tell everybody where they can find you, where they can listen to your podcast, where they can find you on the interwebs?
Absolutely. If I've done my job right, you can find Throw the Flag Football at on pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts. It's, you know, we exclusively talk about college football. But if that is not your thing, we also have, let's just call it Cold Dog Soup.
You can find it if you search Cold Dog Soup. There's a lot more words than that.
We are on Twitter at TTF Football. And at TTF Network. You can also go to ttfnetwork.com and listen to all of our shows as well. Hoping that with the hiatus that we've taken on Cold Dog Soup, maybe it'll just be like a moment in time, like Dirty John or Serial or Shit Town or whatever, along with the great podcasts of yesteryear. But we're hoping to kind of fire that up again and bring back Cold Dog Soup to its roots.
I smell sex and candy, yeah. Who's that lounging in my chair?
All right, with that, I guess I should wrap things up. I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, song suggestions, please reach out to us. Our email address is decompositionpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at decomp_pod. Facebook and Instagram at Decomposition Podcast. Get yourself onto the Apple Podcast app or whatever podcatcher you choose. Drop us a rating or review. That really helps us out a lot. Tell a friend, tell an enemy. In the meantime, thank you again, and you just chill till the next episode.